If I asked you, if you had confessed today, right here in this church, right now, what would you say? Did you confess today? Right here, right now. You see, the word in the Old Testament and in the New Testament that is translated confess really means to say the same thing, to make a statement that you agree with. You agree with that statement. It is used also widely in legal contexts, but in biblical terms, that word and its cognates is used to express a belief in God, as well as an acknowledgement of failure to keep God's laws. A belief in God, a praise for God for his salvation. Now, we think of the word confess only in the, you know, the legal term or the criminal term. Did you get him to confess to that crime? You know, a confession, we got very narrow. But when you sang these songs, when you repeated that psalm up here that Harold had on the screen, when you repeated that, the Lord is good, his graciousness is for, and his loving kindness is forever, you just made a confession. Here's a confession. Psalm 9, verse 1. I will give thanks to the Eternal with all my heart. This was a song. People sang it. I will give thanks to the Eternal with all my heart. I will tell of your wonders. I will be glad and exalt in you. I will sing praise to your name, O Most High. That's a confession. People made that confession. It's a statement. Psalm 28 and verse 6 is another confession. Blessed be the Eternal, because he heard the voice of my supplication, or as one said, my plea for mercy. He heard the voice of my plea for mercy. Blessed be the Eternal. And in Psalm 26, verse 7, that I may proclaim the voice, that I may proclaim with the voice of thanksgiving and declare all your wonders. I proclaim with a voice of thanksgiving. I had written a Sabbath Thoughts email to people on our mailing list, our email mailing list. And it was about, I was inspired to do it because I was outside last Sunday and we were checking the sprinkler system, going around, you know, this section and that section. Does it cover it? Is it going off? Is it not doing it? Is these things not working? So we were going around the whole yard. And afterward, I came back and I sat down on one of our patio chairs, and beside me, Molly had a couple, she always keeps all of these pots of, one of them was a pot of an herb, the basil, I think it's a basil herb. And I looked at it, and I, you know, I saw these beautiful leaves and everything, and I reached over and I picked off a leaf. And I put it in my mouth, and I began to chew it. And the flavors of that basil leaf just flooded my mouth. And I'm thinking, oh, that, I wonder if that's really good for you. You know, I'm sure it's probably really good for you. But, you know, it does. It has all kinds of things, antioxidants and some vitamins and stuff. And I was thinking, you know, how wonderful God is. Yes, we have chemistry now, modern chemistry with our quantitative and qualitative analysis. We can figure out anything, what's in these things. But God made these things way before we got to the chemistry place. You didn't even have to know that it was good for you. If you ate it, it did good for you. You eat an apple, and it does good for you. All these catechins and all these bioflavonoids and all the vitamins and all the minerals, you don't have to know they're in there. And I was thinking, how wonderful God is. He made these things for everybody. You know, you go out and you pick one and you have something to eat. It's just so wonderful how great God is. That we, yes, and then it dawned on me, there's this proverb that says, It's the glory of God to hide things, and the glory of men, kings and rulers, to find them out. We find out things every day about God's great creation, and it's absolutely thrilling. Here's another one, Psalm 118, verse 1. Give thanks to the Eternal, for He is good. Yes, He is. For His loving kindness is everlasting. And one of the great confessions, it's a confession of faith. It's a confession of your conviction. One of the great confessions was this one in Deuteronomy. You remember, and the Jews have adopted it now. It's called the Shema. And it goes like this. Hear, O Israel. It means hear. Hear, O Israel. The Eternal, our God, the Eternal is one. And it means first. It doesn't mean just one person. It means that the Eternal is first in your life. And therefore, you shall love the Eternal, your God. The next verse. With all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. These words which I'm commanding you today shall be in your heart. So these are words of confession. These are words that you confess or profess before God. You shall teach them diligently to your sons, and you shall talk of them when you sit in the house, in your house, and when you walk by the way. You're talking about this, that we have to love God. God is so great. We love God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our might. And when you lie down and when you rise up, you shall bind them as a sign in your hand, and you shall, and they shall be as frontals on your forehead, and you shall write them in the doorposts of your house and on your gates. This is a confession of faith. Now, in the New Testament times, confessing Jesus Christ was a very important thing to do. You had to confess Him. You had to make a statement about Him, who He was, what He is. At one point, when they were walking by Caesarea Philippi, up in the northern part of Israel, where the Jordan River comes down, I've been in that area, and the beginning of the Jordan River comes springs right out of the mountains. There's where Jesus asked the disciples, who do men say I am? Who do people think I am? Well, some said, well, some people think you're Elijah, some people think you're Jeremiah, or one of the other prophets, you know, everybody's talking about who you might be. And then he asked him, he said, well, who do you say I am? And right away, Simon Peter answered this question. Matthew 16, verse 16. Matthew 16, verse 16, Simon Peter answered, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And you remember Jesus then said, Simon, human beings didn't tell you this. This came from my Father. And so, but Simon Peter professed it, stated it, confessed it right there. On another occasion in John chapter 6, and dropping down to verse 68, well, before that, some of the disciples heard Jesus' statement, you know, you must eat my flesh and drink my blood and all that. You know, he was making these statements. Some of them said, this is a hard saying. You know, he had about 70 disciples at one point, and some of them just walked off. They were going to leave. They said, we can't take this. We can't take this kind of statement. And then Jesus talked to the disciples, the other 12, and he said, are you going to leave too? Are you going to leave me? And what did Jesus say? Simon Peter answered, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. And listen to this confession of faith. And we have believed and have come to know that you are the Holy One of God. That's a confession of your faith. Do you agree with that statement? Do you agree with Peter's statement? Then you have confessed. When you agree with these Psalms, when you agree with these statements, you have confessed Christ. Now, it wasn't always easy to confess Christ, you know. Some people got in trouble. You remember the blind man, you know, this is in John chapter 9. The blind man who was made blind and made whole, and Jesus healed him. And then his Pharisees came along, well, how did he get healed? Who said he was blind in the first place? Well, he said, well, yeah, this is our son. We know that this is our son. We know that he's blind. How he got healed, I don't know. We don't know that. They didn't want to say anything. But in John chapter 9, verse 22, his parents said this because, they said, well, we don't know how he got healed, because they were afraid of the Jews. For the Jews had already agreed. Now, when they use the word Jews in the book of John, they don't mean just every Jew. The word Jews here is referring to the Sanhedrin and the ruling Jews, the power place of Jews. They are the ones they fear. They don't fear every Jew on the street. They feared the authority Jews that were able to put them out of the synagogue. So he said, for the Jews had already agreed that if anyone should confess him to be Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue. That was what was going to happen to them. They would be put out of the synagogue. So they were afraid to confess Jesus as the Christ. And you remember in the book of Acts, they called him in. Are you going to keep going around here and talking about this man being resurrected from the dead? Are you going to keep saying that? We stopped him. They took him in. They wanted to beat him. They ordered them not to. You remember in Acts chapter 4, verses 19 and 20. And finally, Peter said this. Peter and John answered, and both Peter and John answered, whether it is right in the sight of God to give heed to you rather than to God, you be the judge. For we cannot stop speaking what we have seen and heard. We're going to keep telling you about Jesus Christ's resurrection. We saw him, and we cannot stop it. So that's a confession. This is one of the great confessions of faith recorded in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 8. And verse 6, 1 Corinthians 8. As Paul was talking about, yes, there are gods many and lords many. Yeah, there are many lords, there are many gods in the world. But then he comes to this statement. If you can make this and you agree with it, you have confessed today. 1 Corinthians 8, verse 6. Yet for us, there is but one God, the Father, from whom are all things, and we exist for him. And one Lord, Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we exist through him. Now, some people make a big statement, some of these people that don't want to believe that Jesus is divine or deity. They say, well, see there? It says there's just one God, and that's the Father, and therefore Jesus is not God. See? It says that. Well, if you're going to use it that strictly, if you're going to say there's but one God, the Father, therefore Jesus is not God, then you have to say there's but one Lord, Jesus Christ, therefore God the Father is not Lord. Is that what you're going to say? You can't call the God the Father Lord? Is that crazy? In fact, is one of the disciples, in making a great confession of faith, that's the Apostle Thomas, disciple Thomas, when he saw Jesus, and Jesus said, you were in doubt. Here, put your hand here. Feel it. Feel the spear parts. Feel the nails in my hand. And then he dropped to his knees and he said, my Lord and my God. They're both Lord. They're both God. And one more scripture before we break. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Paul talking to Timothy in verses 12 through 16. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Paul says to Timothy, fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of eternal life for which you were called, to which you were called. And listen to this last statement. And you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. You see, when we confess Christ, it's not just personal in our own life apart. You make a confession in front of people. And the first confession I ever made in front of anybody about Jesus Christ was right before I was baptized in the water. Do you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior for your sins? And I said, I do. Yes, I do. That's a confession of faith. That's probably your first confession. Confession of faith. You have made a good confession in the presence of many witnesses. I charge you in the presence of God, who gives life to all things, and of Christ Jesus. Now listen to this last statement in verse 13. And of Christ Jesus, who testified the good confession before Pontius Pilate. Are you the Christ then? Are you? You say that I am. Yes, and you will see the Son of Man coming, and, you know, and he goes on. He talks about, to this end was I born, and for this cause I came into the world, to bear witness of the truth. Are you a king then? He says, you know, yes, yeah. In other words, you said it. You said it yourself. He made a confession about who he was, about who God was, in front of Pontius Pilate. Yes, who testified the good confession before Pontius Pilate, that you keep the commandments without stain or reproach until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he will bring about at the proper time. He, now listen to this confession. If you agree with it, then you've confessed. He who is the blessed and only sovereign, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who alone possesses immortality and dwells in unapproachable light, whom no man has seen or can see, to him be honor and eternal dominion. Amen. Now, there's more to confession. A lot of people talk about confession of sins. They don't even know what confession of sins is. People talk about confession. But let me tell you one of the things confessions of sin is not. It is not talking about sin. If confession of sin was talking about sin, man, we've got a complete confessional in the whole United States media. Because, you know, they get these people on television. Well, tell them that you slept with your son's wife you slept with your daughter's husband. And all these people get on and they talk about their sins. And there used to be a magazine called what? True Confessions. You remember that? That wasn't a true confession at all. That was just talking about sin. Confession is not talking about sin. It's not a number of other things. We'll talk about what it is. How you really confess, what it takes to confess in a place of confessing your sins. But we'll also talk more about the confession of Jesus Christ and why it's so important to your salvation in the next message next week.